Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on a red light. Those days are over. You don't have to say your body to the night. Roxanne.
Hey there, this is Jim. This is Rockin' the Suburbs, your favorite podcast. No Patrick Foster today. He's off today. I'm flying solo. But I do want to pick up on something he started, which is this. Okay, so if you have been following our Facebook page at Suburbs Pod, you probably have seen the 70s album madness bracket thing. All right, it's been going on. Every day you can vote for different matchup of great 70s albums, right? And then you vote, and then the winner advances, and it's bracket style. And eventually, around the time of the NCAA tournament national championship game, we will crown a 70s album champion, right? Okay. So, when we put together the field of 64 great albums from the 1970s, it was really, really hard. 64 seems like a big number, but it's not when you're picking albums, certainly. Many of you probably have thousands upon thousands of albums in your collection. If I asked you to pick the best 64, it would drive you mad, right? Okay, so that's what happened. We were driven mad by this exercise, getting it down to 64, and then when we did get it down to 64 and we released it, we were shamed, I guess, by the albums that we left out. But again, it's not that big of a number. All right, anyway, enough on that. It is what it is. The bracket was out, the field was set, but we wanted to pay some tribute to artists that were left out of the field. There were many, many really good albums that didn't make it, and we want to, you know, recognize those. So Patrick did several episodes last month where he talked about some different bands that were left out of the field, and I want to talk about one right now because I think this is a pretty interesting period in this band's career. All right, so the band I want to talk about is The Police. The Police were definitely a band considered for the bracket, but they ultimately did not make the field. They released two albums in the 1970s, but here's the thing. It really wasn't until 1980s album Zenyatta Mandata that The Police broke in the United States, right? Because that was the album that had Don't Stand So Close to Me, and also Da-Do-Do-Do-Da-Da-Da, which, okay, goofy song title, but now that song is in your head, right? Okay. And then after that album, they had even bigger hit albums in the 80s with Ghost in the Machine and Synchronicity, of course. But we want to take a look at the first two Police albums here, which were well-regarded albums. And many fans of The Police in the 80s went back and bought those first two albums, you know, maybe a little bit later on. Now, the debut album by The Police was called Outlandos d'Amor, which roughly apparently translates to Outlaws of Love. The Police in the early years loved to use this franglaise sort of treatment, which is like things that sounded French but weren't exactly French. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. Outlandos d'Amor, it was released in 1978, and it does contain one of The Police's best-known songs, and that would be Roxanne. But here's the thing, Roxanne was not a huge hit at the time of release. It did chart in the U.S. a little bit lower down in the chart, but it really became a bigger song later on. It was a slow burner, I guess. And, you know, maybe it was when Eddie Murphy sang it in the movie 48 Hours. That might have been the key, I think, for U.S. audiences. This album, Outlandos d'Amor, was low budget, and it had kind of a punky sound, as you will hear here if we put the needle down on the opening track.
I can't stand it for another day. When you live so many miles away, nothing here is gonna make me stay. It took me over, let me find a way. I sold my house, I sold my motor to live. All I want is to be next to you.
All right, that was the song Next to You. Now, here's another one I want to play that I just can't get out of my head after re-listening to this album. Again, the truth hits everybody. Again, kind of punky, but here's a really good one. This deep cut, it's called Peanuts, and it definitely shows some of that punk spirit in that it's about rejecting rock star excess. The song was written about Rod Stewart and how he used to be a cool musician, but by this point, the late 70s, maybe a little bit questionable. Now, here's the thing. All of this is really kind of funny in retrospect when you consider how Sting turned out. But at this time, we got this song, Peanuts. All right, now another aspect to Outlandos de Mor was the use of reggae, and you can hear that, or at least touches of that, in Roxanne, and in Can't Stand Losing You, and So Lonely. Why reggae? Well, actually, this makes sense, given the environment the band was coming up in England. Reggae and ska were very popular at that time in the UK, and years ago on the old show, Patrick and I interviewed Dave Winkling from the English Beat, and he described the whole scene as a punky reggae party. You might recall Dave Winkling, the English Beat, were part of the two-tone scene. There were many ska bands, British ska bands, second wave of ska around that time, and also bands like The Clash, certifiable punk band into ska and reggae. Now, Outlandos de Mor did reach number 23 on the U.S. charts, so I'm not going to say it did poorly, and it also got to number 6 in the U.K. It was eventually certified platinum in the U.S., but that certification came later into the 80s, as I mentioned, after a lot of those 80s Police fans went back and bought the earlier work. Now, as for the critics, it was a bit of a mixed bag. At the time, the reviews honestly weren't that good, and the band was kind of considered posers. You got to remember the time and the scene they were coming out of and the image they were sort of trying to portray. Look at the album cover and you'll get what I'm saying. But over time, this album became more beloved, and it was on some of the iterations of the Rolling Stone 500 Greatest Albums lists. But the latest one does not have this album. So it's fallen off as, you know, more albums just in the world have been released. Now, I want to turn to the Rolling Stone album guide. And let's see what they had to say here. Let's see. The Rolling Stone album guide, Outlandos D'Amore, 3 stars. That's 3 out of 5. So as you can see, good but not great. All right, in the album guide, they talk about how the members of the Police were actually quite proficient at their instruments. And then they say about this album, what that led to wasn't punk, but neither was it like anything else in rock. Outlandos D'Amore merely hints at the possibilities mixing jazzy reggae workouts like Masoko Tanga with predictable punk fare along the lines of Born in the 50s. Nor is the band's pop potential fully manifest, though Roxanne, a top 40 single, So Lonely and Can't Stand Losing You are obvious indicators of what was to come. All right, so there you go. That was what the Rolling Stone album guide had to say. Now I'm going to pick up here the Spin alternative record guide. For those of you who remember Spin magazine, as I mentioned, the Police were considered alternative for their time, probably falling more into the new wave category. But anyway, Police, Outlandos D'Amore. Spin had to say, Outlandos D'Amore works both sexually and sonically, with Sting's wounded purr and nimble bass providing an ideal soundtrack to the bottle blonde boy bond of the inner sleeve photos. Roxanne, So Lonely, and Masoko Tanga lilt through reggae rhythms, but since Sting's idea of reggae is singing hee-ho, hee-yo-yo over standard skank, the reggae moves never get pompous. Next to You and Truth Hits Everybody are breathless power pop rush, and if Sting's poetic brooding is rather less than meaningful, who told him sell your body to the night was a metaphor, the sound of the pout is meaning enough. So there you go. And the Spin alternative record guide gives Outlandos D'Amore a 7 out of 10. So there you go. All right, now let's move on to the second Police album, Regatta de Blanc, released in 1979. And this, another Franglais title, which loosely translates to white reggae. So there you go. They're putting it all out there. Now, this one got a little bit more critical acclaim. Why exactly? Well, this song might give you a clue.
Oh,
That, of course, was Message in a Bottle, and that is a top-notch pop song. And it showed that this was a band that could move beyond the punk scene. In fact, the Police never really felt comfortable trying to be punks. As I mentioned before, they were proficient musicians, and they kind of had to hide that a bit on the debut. But here they were more true to themselves. They still recorded cheaply. So this was a low-budget record, and that was mainly so the record label couldn't control them, right? They were trying to fund things on their own. Now, interestingly, even though the critics tended to like this album a little bit more than the first, the band almost suffered from the dreaded sophomore slump. They didn't really have enough new material to record a full album, so they had to go back and rework some of the older songs they had from previous bands they were in to fill it out. And Stuart Copeland contributed a number of songs he had written, including this one that I really like.
I change my clothes 10 times before I tell you what I think. I'm in a cold sweat, my panic makes me look. I know you never meant for this, I know. My shots will always miss, I know. My shots will always miss.
Does Everyone Stare? Now, the reggae stuff is apparent on this album again, especially if you listen to Walking on the Moon or The Bed's Too Big Without You. Ricardo de Blanc went to number 25 in the US, so about the same as the first album. And it was eventually certified platinum, but again, I think that was later on. Now, this one was a number one album in the UK. It also did make some earlier versions of the Rolling Stone 500 Greatest Album lists, but it's not there anymore. Now, here's what Rolling Stone Album Guide says about Regatta de Blanc. It says, "It's not the melodic appeal of The Bed's Too Big Without You or Message in a Bottle that powers Regatta de Blanc. It's the playing. Instead of the normal power trio approach in which the guitar provides the bulk of the sound while the drums and bass add rhythmic support, the Police invert the formula, letting Copeland's swirling polyrhythms lead the way while Sting's bass grounds the pulse and Summer's phased and flange guitar adds color." So there you go. So I think the critics obviously really took to the fact that the Police were growing as musicians, or were displaying their musicianship, might be the better way to say it. Now, the Rolling Stone album guide gives Regatta de Blanc 4 stars, so 4 out of 5, so a bit of an improvement from the first one. Now, let's see, let's look at the Spin alternative record guide. Spin gave Regatta de Blanc, again, 7 out of 10, so same as the debut album. And says, Regatta de Blanc farms out more of the songwriting to Stuart Copeland, whose Does Everyone Stare reveals how bitterly he must have hated sitting down on stage behind a better-looking guy. Interesting. That was my comment. Message in a Bottle takes you on a 3-hour tour to a desert island where the glitzy instrumental textures of Death Wish, Bring on the Night, and Walking on the Moon orchestrate the escapist daydreams of lonely teen castaways. Stevie Nicks later rewrote Bring on the Night as Edge of 17, brilliantly claiming Sting's castaway motif in the name of girldom, where, after all, Sting had found it in ABBA's SOS. So there you go. That's what Spin had to say. Of course, after these albums, the Police blew up big, real big. But these two first albums give you a good sense of a scrappier band trying to find their sound. And I would say they are definitely worthy entries in any collection. All right. Thanks very much for listening to Rock in the Suburbs. I think maybe later on this month we'll have time to do, you know, a couple more of these entries paying tribute to some great artists of the 1970s. All right. We're going to pack this one up, ship it off to the National Archives. On behalf of Patrick Foster, on behalf of intern Sam, on behalf of Shadow, again, thank you for listening always. Keep voting in the bracket challenge. Now, we're going to play a Patrick favorite. He told me this was a song he enjoyed off the first album. This is Born in the 50s. I'm Jim Lenihan, and we will talk to you later. Reggae party.